Now, the miracles that the Lord Jesus is performing at this time, these miracles, they have aroused the interest of many who were gathered around the Saviour. At this particular time, here are folk, and they have just seen and they have heard of how the Lord, with five little loaves and two small fish, fed a multitude of 5,000 people, and how there was so much left over. And in that miracle, the Lord Jesus, of course, was wanting to teach to them that he had something which, if accepted and rested upon, would not only provide sustenance for life, but bring eternal life with it. You see, these folk here, as they had witnessed this miracle, they were looking at it from a natural standpoint, and they just couldn't fully understand the great message that was contained and hidden within it. You see, dear friends, they say there to the Lord Jesus in the verse 34, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And you know, dear friends, whenever they came to that point, the Lord Jesus didn't leave them in any doubt whatsoever as to the way in which they could have everlasting life and how it might be obtained. And he comes down there to those words at the end of verse 37. And listen to it. Why, we know them all so well this evening, don't we? "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Dear friends, there's tremendous words, a tremendous truth wrapped up here in very, very simple language. And you know, as we come to look at it, it is so simple. And yet, friends, there are so many that stumble at this unencumbered plan of God's salvation for a lifetime, and they fail to grasp the simplicity of it. And for a few minutes tonight, before the meeting comes to a close, I want us to think of those words that the Saviour said there. "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Now, I know you'll have heard these words many times, and I'm sure that anything that I have got to say tonight will not be new to you. But, dear friends, my prayer is tonight that the Spirit of God would come in such a way tonight that you would see just the simplicity of God's way of salvation, rest upon it, and pass from death unto life. Now, the first thing I want us to think about is the person that's identified here. The person that's identified here. Look at it. "Him that cometh." Him that cometh. There's the person that's identified in the simple words of the Lord Jesus. Now, there's a couple of things we could say about this person that's identified here. You see, dear friends, there's no exceptions here. No exceptions here. "Him or her that cometh." You know, dear friends, there are many examples in the Word of God, and they're there, and we can see that there have been no exceptions in these words. I read of a wee man by the name of Zacchaeus. You know, there's a wee man there, I read about him. He was the inspector of taxes. He was gathering up the taxes for the occupation forces of the Romans in the land here. And here he is. And my dear friends, as the Lord Jesus is pantering and passing through Jericho, I read about this little man, and his curiosity is aroused. And he wants to see Jesus, who he is. You see, he's heard about him. He's heard a lot about him. And no doubt he's heard about the miracles that are being wrought by the Lord Jesus. And he wants to know more about him. Dear friends, what a wee man this must have been. You know, I reckon here's a wee man, and he would have been despised in and around Jericho and further afield. You see, he's the inspector of taxes. And you know, I suppose there's something about us all, and we don't really like the tax man. Sure, we don't. Well, I know rightly, here's a wee man, and he would have been despised here. And we're told about this wee man, he was rich. Now, it's commonly believed by many commentators that they would have taken that which wasn't theirs by right and made themselves rich. But listen, friends, here's a wee man. His interest is aroused in seeing and knowing more about the Lord Jesus, and he has got a great handicap. He's little of stature, and he's in a big crowd. You ever see a wee man in a big crowd? Wee man in a big crowd. Boys, he has some obstacles, hasn't he? But you know something? He did a very childish thing. And why? He wasn't worried about a childish thing. He wasn't worried about who might laugh and poke fun at him. He gets himself out of the crowd and he runs down the road. And what does he do? He climbs a tree. Oh, yes, he did. And there he is. The Lord Jesus comes along. And when the Lord Jesus was at the spot, what did he do? He stopped. He stopped on his journey. And he just looked up. And my, he called Zacchaeus by his name. That must have been a shock for Zacchaeus. The Lord Jesus knew him by name. And down from that tree he came in a moment of time. And he came down at the call of the Lord Jesus. When the Lord Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down. The man just did what he was told. And that very day, salvation came to that man's house and he was changed through and through. There's no exceptions, you see, in this invitation that's before us here this evening. I read of another man called Bartimaeus. And again, just on the outskirts of Jericho. My, as the Lord Jesus has entered and he's now passing out through Jericho on his way, there by the side of the dusty road, there's a man and he's blind. And there he sits. My, he's just got his shawl with him and that's all he has, and a little begging bowl. And as the crowds come along, my, can you see him? My, he starts to rattle, if there's anything in it to rattle, to draw attention that he needs something to sustain his life. But you know, somewhere along the way, somebody told him who was coming. They told him that Jesus was coming. And friends, that's our job, you know. It's to let people know about the Lord Jesus. And here's a wee man sitting here and he's blind by the side of the way. My, when he hears the name of the Lord Jesus, oh, he has heard about him. He's heard about his wonder-working works. And you know, he sees this as the opportunity of a lifetime, and he started to shout out. Shout out for mercy from this one that's passing by. But you know, he had friends. What did they try to do? Oh, they tried to quieten him down. Hold your peace. Be quiet. Be quiet. The wee man saw this is the opportunity of a lifetime not to be missed. What does he do? He cried out the more, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. What did the Lord Jesus do? Again, he stopped. He stopped. What did the Lord Jesus say? What was the message that was to be carried to the man that was blind? Rise, he calleth for thee. You know that man, it says, casting away his garment. You see, dear friends, that garment was the most precious thing that that man had. It was all he had to shield him and give him some warmth. But why did he cast it away? So that it wouldn't trip him up or get in his way from getting to the Savior. Here's a man and he's determined to get to the Savior, come what may. And he came just as he was. What happened? He received his sight. Oh, yes, there's no exceptions there. Sure, there's not. But what about Nicodemus? You couldn't get past Nicodemus, sure, you couldn't. That man that we have all heard so much about, that man who was a ruler amongst his people, he was like a privy councillor nearly, wasn't he? Why, he was a teacher amongst the people. And yet, dear friends, he came to the Lord Jesus that night. And he learned something that everyone should know. If you want to get to heaven, ye must be born again. And the Lord Jesus had the great privilege of explaining to that dear man how that serpent in the wilderness was a picture of what would happen there at the cross of Calvary. You know, that man in all of his simplicity, he came just as he was at the call of the Saviour, and he was saved in a moment of time. Dear friends, the wee chorus puts it this way: Nicodemus came to Jesus that night long ago, and his sin, though red like crimson, were made white as snow. And you too can be forgiven. Jesus made it plain: if you want to go to heaven, ye must be born again. And I know you'll have heard this before, but you're hearing it again, friends. There is a story sweet to hear. It's old, but it's ever new, and I trust you'll see something new in it tonight and grasp the plan of God's salvation and rest upon it and be saved for time and for eternity. But what about Mary Magdalene? There's a dear soul there, that dear lady. You know, the Bible tells us she was possessed of 7 demons. And dear friends, no doubt there's a woman there, and she would have been scorned by the people amongst whom she lived. I'm sure she was. But you know, dear friends, that lady came just as she was, in all of her need and in all of her dreadful state. Did the Lord Jesus deliver her from the powers that controlled her? Oh, he broke that power all right. He set her free. He made her a trophy of grace. Listen, friends, tonight in this meeting, you may be here and you're without Christ and without God and without hope in this world. And tonight, dear friends, the devil will try to tell you, he'll try to whisper in your ear, you're too great a sinner. This is not for you. Why, he would try to tell you that. And he would nearly try to tell you, well, you know, God doesn't love the like of you. His promises are not for you. You know, the story has been told whenever D.L. Moody was conducting a mission on one occasion. There was a man, and his life was in a mess. And he made an appointment to see the great preacher. And you know, as he came to see the great preacher, he felt that his life was beyond God's help. That's the awful state the man was in. You see, dear friends, he was an alcoholic. He had abandoned his wife. He had abandoned his children. He had stolen. He had been to prison. But you know, dear friends, D.L. Moody had the great privilege of setting the man down and sitting down beside him. And with his Bible opened at this very verse, he was able to show to him that him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And he took great pains to point out to him, look, there's no exceptions in this invitation. That dear soul, in the awful state in which he was, he came that night. He put his faith and his trust in the Lord Jesus. That dear woman got back a new husband. Those children got back a loving father. He was changed through and through. Friends, in this meeting this evening, this promise is for you. This promise is for a sinner like me. I'm glad there's no exceptions here. No exceptions here. But you know, friends, there's something else that we could say about it. Since there's no exceptions here, that leaves us with no excuses here. No excuses here. By the appeal of the Lord, it encourages us to come. Listen to it. It's coming straight from the Lord Jesus. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. My, that should encourage a poor soul to come to the Saviour. It's a bit like that other lovely promise, Matthew 11:28, that well-known verse. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Dear friends, these words, they leave mankind without excuse now. And you in this meeting tonight, if you're without the Saviour, listen, you're without excuse tonight. The Lord invites you to come. And if you come tonight, he promises to receive you. Yes, there's a person identified here. Him that cometh. But secondly, there's a plan that's specified here. There's a plan that's specified here, and it's God's plan. Listen to it again. Him that cometh to me. Him that cometh to me. My friends, there's three wee things we want to notice here about this plan that's specified. I want you to notice how simple it is. Look at how simple it is. You see, the action word is C-O-M-E, come. Come. Now, what does it mean to come? You see, there are so many folk, and we have heard in testimonies in the past about they couldn't maybe understand and grasp what it meant to come and to come just as you are. Well, what does verse 35 say? It says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Dear friends, coming and believing are two and the same thing. Coming and believing, they're the same thing. What does that mean? It simply means to abandon self. Abandon self. I and abandon all others as well. Forget about all others. And venture on Christ alone. That's what it means in simple terms. Venture on Christ alone. My, I love this word come. C-O-M-E. I like to think of the letters in the word C-O-M-E. What does C tell me? Well, it tells me that the children can come. Why isn't that wonderful? Sunday school teacher, if you're here tonight, those wee boys and girls that gather around your feet, listen, they can come to the Savior. Oh, yes, the Savior himself said, suffer the little children to come unto me. Forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Yes, C tells me the children can come. What about O? Well, that tells me that older people can come. Aye, and very old people can come. You know, I go to an old people's home, or maybe more than one old people's home, but one in particular for a good number of years. And you know, some of the folk that listen to these simple gospel messages, they just last about 15 to 20 minutes. And you know, dear friends, some of those dear old souls, and whenever they were either little boys or little girls, sat in Sunday schools like this. You know, dear friends, life has just passed them by, and now they're in the eventide of life. But you know, we've had the joy of seeing some of them come, and in that simple childlike way, grasping the plan of God's salvation. Oh, isn't it great that older people can come? Oh, you're not too old to come. You're not too old to come to the Savior. What about M? That tells me the middle age can come. And you know, in around middle age, you can have all the cares and the worries of life. You can have business worries, all these things that come to pile up upon you whenever you're at that particular age. Listen, you can come to the Savior in middle age. What about E? Oh, everybody can come. Everybody can come. Here's a message, and we can take it to earth's remotest bound, wherever man is found. Everyone can come. There's none left out of this gracious invitation. I wonder tonight, could there be somebody in this meeting, and maybe for a long time you've been stumbling out of simplicity? Maybe you're here tonight and you're saying, preacher, I've heard this all before, but surely there's something I must do. Surely there's something I must do. Can I not pay something for it? Is there not somewhere that I need to go? Well, friends, I would invite you to listen to the one who said these words. Remember, it's the Lord Jesus is speaking here. He says, him that cometh. I will in no wise cast out. You see, dear friend, God simply says, come. Come. And friends, that's the simplicity of the message. Come, just as you are. But there's something very sublime about it as well, about this plan that's specified. Come to me. Come unto me. You see, dear friends, I want to tell you again, and you'll have heard it again and again. God's specified plan of his salvation, it all centered in his dear Son. It's all centered in the Son of God. And dear friends, he's the answer to your every need tonight. He's the answer to your greatest need. You know, dear friends, I want to tell you tonight that he loved you to so much that he gave himself for you. He died there on Calvary's cross, and he endured the wrath of God on account of man's sin. And dear friends, why did he do it? Why did he do it? All to make a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. All that a poor sinner like you and like me could be saved here upon earth, be absolutely sure of being at home with the Lord when the wee journey of life comes to an end. That's why he did it all, out of love to poor sinners like you and I. Oh, friends, this plan that's specified, it's simple, it's sublime. But listen, it's singular. It's singular. Him that cometh to me. You see, friends, there's only one way now. Only one way. Oh, you might say that's a very narrow view of God's salvation. Well, it is. It is. It's the biblical view of it, dear friend. Yes, it's the biblical view of it. He's the only way. There's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. The hymn writer put it this way: come is the sweet invitation of grace. Come unto Jesus, the soul's resting place. Come, for the Father's well pleased with his Son. Come and find rest in the work he has done. Friends, the work's all done tonight. The work is done to the entire satisfaction of a holy God. Salvation's on offer, and it's for him or her that cometh to the Savior. That's it. But lastly, there's a promise that's ratified here. There's a promise that's ratified here. Listen to it in closing. Come unto him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You see, dear friends, if you come, you're maybe asking the question tonight, if I come, what's the Lord going to do for me? What is he going to do for me? Well, friends, he'll save you initially. He'll save you initially. Now, what's the opposite of being cast out? If he doesn't cast you out, he'll take you in. If he doesn't cast you out, he'll take you in. He doesn't say that the person who comes might be. He doesn't say that he probably will be saved. No, no. He says very emphatically, I will absolutely never reject. That's what it really means. I will absolutely never reject. Well, listen, could you ask for more than that? Could you ask for more than that, dear sinner friend tonight? What more could you ask for? Though your past is awful, though your present lifestyle could be unrighteous, listen, the question is simply this. Will you come to Christ? And if you do, listen, the promise. He will save you. And he'll save you now. So he'll save you initially. But you know something else? He'll keep you continually. He'll keep you continually. I will in no wise cast out. Now, this is a very, very strong term in the original language that's used here. It means never, never, ever cast away. You know, dear friends, whenever the Lord saved me on that 14th of June, that night, 1966, the Lord took me in, and I'm as sure of heaven tonight as if I was already there. My name was written down on the Lamb's Book of Life, on that page white and fair. Listen, is your name written there? Is it? Will I ever be lost? Oh, no, I'll not be lost. Look at verse 39, and this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Listen, friends, once in Christ forever, by virtue of the blood, nothing, nothing can destroy the life that's hid with Christ in God. Yes, dear friends, once you're taken in, there's no putting out. He does the keeping. You know, this is something that baffles some people, you know. Many a one has been on the verge of trusting Christ. And my, this awful battle goes on. And my, they'll say, well, you know, I could never keep it. I could never. I'll make a fool of myself. I could never keep this. Listen, friends, you're absolutely right. You could never keep this thing. But listen, it's the Lord that does the keeping. The Lord that does the keeping. You ever see a wee fella crossing a busy road? You ever see a wee fella crossing a busy road? My, the parent, he'll get him by the hand. A wee fella will put his hand in the big daddy's hand or maybe the big mommy's hand. My, they'll get a good grip of them. Now pull them in tight beside them. Does that child have any worries? Not at all. It's in its mommy or its daddy's hands, and it'll cross the road with not a fear, not a tremble, not a worry. Oh, yes, it's safe. Listen, if you come to Christ tonight, don't you worry about this keeping business. If you get Christ and you get God's salvation, listen, he will keep you, and he'll keep you should the river roll its water at your feet, and then he'll bear you safely over. Maybe there's loved ones already over there that you'll meet. Ah, yes, friends. But listen, there's one last thing here. He'll raise you gloriously. It says here, he shall raise it up again at the last day. You see, dear friends, if the Lord saves you, that'll take care of your past now. It'll blot it out, never to be remembered against you anymore forever. But listen, it not only takes care of your past, he'll keep you in the present. He'll do the keeping. He'll keep you in the present day by day. But what about the future? What about the future? He'll raise you at the last day. You know, dear friends, it may be that those of us who are here tonight and we know our sins forgiven, may be that you and I will go down just like all others into the earth. But you know, that's not the end. There are those who've been laid to rest in Mother Earth, the new and the love of the Savior. Their ransomed souls went immediately be with Christ, which is far better. But listen, there's another day coming. There's a resurrection day coming when the dead in Christ will rise first at the great trump, that great shout that's about to happen some of these days. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then those of us who may be alive and remain who know our sins forgiven, listen, at that very moment we'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. My, what a joyful surprise that'll be. My, to be here this moment in this sinful scene. For that great shout to come from the that'll rend the heavens, and up from the grave the dead bodies of the saints will rise. And you and I that are alive and remain, listen, what a joyful surprise to meet them in the air. and to be forever with the Lord. You see, friends, in this invitation here, there's the promise of salvation. There's the promise of preservation. And there's the promise of glorification in the future. And how does it all come about? Through one single person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, he's the only way to home and heaven. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that we all need. If you miss the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll miss heaven and home, be lost for all eternity. You know, I'm sure you've all heard the story of Charlotte Elliot. Charlotte Elliot was an invalid. You know, she sometimes got very bitter because of her condition, and she has sort of blamed God for her condition. On one occasion, a Swiss minister was visiting, and he had the opportunity of having dinner with her. And you know, during that conversation with that Swiss minister, it was so obvious that she was bitter against God because of her invalidity. But you know, as that minister started to talk to her and kept talking to her, seeking to win her to Christ, you know, her attitude began to soften. And she came to the point where she asked this question of that godly minister. She says to him, "If I were to become a Christian and enjoy that peace that you do, what would I need to do? What would I need to do?" You know, that godly minister just looked at her and he says, "Come to Jesus just as you are now. Come to Jesus just as you are now." Charlotte Elliot came, and she came just as she was. She put her faith, her trust, her hope for eternity in what Christ had done for her alone. She passed from death unto life. A number of years later, she sat down, and she was a very gifted person. She penned a lovely poem. That lovely poem was printed and put in leaflet form and circulated all over England. You know, dear friends, it now finds its way and it's set to music and it's in our hymn books. It's that lovely invitation hymn, "Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come." She came just as she was. She came to know the peace and the joy of sins forgiven. And the words of this verse were very precious to her till her dying day. Listen, friends, tonight. Will you come now just as you are? Will you come to the Savior and make no delay? Listen to the text once more in closing. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Will you come? Will you come now and trust the Savior? May you do so for his name's sake. And if you do, you'll be saved. And when the wee journey of life comes to an end, we'll meet you in the land that's fairer than day. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts for his name's sake. Maybe we could sing together the words of 293 in closing.